This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move on into Galatians with Introduction to Galatians, No Other Gospel, Paul's Call, Paul's first visit to Jerusalem, and Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
When you consider how much of the vast territory of the internet, and that is a vast territory indeed, is devoted to pornography, when you consider how pervasive it is, how easily accessible it is, it's no wonder that even people who do not consider pornography particularly sinful still consider it a problem. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going to be talking about a Christ-centered road to pornography recovery. Daniel Weiss joins us. He's president of Sexual Integrity Leaders, co-author of Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World, a field guide for parents, and author of a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Out of the Shadows. Daniel, welcome back.
Thank you, Todd. It's great to be back on the show.
What do the numbers tell us? How pervasive is the temptation toward pornography?
Well, the research is not good on this, I'll tell you that. We know that large percentages of Americans, both young and old, have been caught up in pornography. But I would say the temptation is much greater than even what people might be accessing that is legitimate pornography. I mean, there's pornographic temptation literally everywhere. Your listeners would know that perhaps when they were growing up, it was hard to find something sexually explicit. They had to go looking for it, certainly outright pornography. But now it's difficult to avoid it. It's pretty much everywhere. And so that has a way of shaping and skewing people's understanding of sexuality and relationships, including Christians.
There was a time I can remember when the world considered pornography obscene and sinful. Is that still true?
I think that's still true in the church. In fact, it may be the only place that's true anymore. But the secular world is kind of waking up to the harms and the dangers of pornography, which is very interesting. They see it as a health hazard. And there are secular groups working on recovery for people that have just found pornography has destroyed their sex lives. And we're talking people that aren't necessarily living a godly relationships, or they're not in marriages. They're just single men and women who might be using pornography, but they're finding it's destroying their capacity to bond with others. They can't get the thoughts out of their mind, so they're caught in this spiral of temptation and indulgence and shame and guilt, and it just keeps going. So it's not even a religious issue anymore. It's really a human issue. And we're seeing eye to eye with some people that don't necessarily agree with the church on other things.
What is the first step in the struggle against this temptation?
A lot of people are impacted by this, but nobody's talking about it. And so one of the most important things is to stop fighting the struggle or the temptation or the battle alone. It's to get someone in your corner, a mature Christian brother or sister, who can hear you with compassion and grace, who can share God's love and forgiveness with you and be a support for you to lean on when temptations come back. And this can be a pastor, this could be a mature Christian friend or relative, but the most important thing is to let somebody else know so you're not battling alone.
How important is it to simply acknowledge this is sin?
I think it's tremendously important. This is not just an alternate lifestyle choice. God made us, male and female, with the capacity for intimate, loving union. He made us in his image and likeness because God is a divine trinity of persons of love, and we were made in that image and likeness. We were made for intimacy in our world, in our lives. And yes, sin has really destroyed that. But that original glimpse, I think, of what we were made for is still possible through Christ, and we can find healing and restoration in this life still and live toward our calling, live out our calling to be men and women of God. But the idea of sin is we need to understand that God has created us for specific purposes, and pornography is not one of them. And it really hijacks all the other godly, good elements of our being. Sex meant to bond spouses together, to bring children into the world, to create intimacy and love. And pornography hijacks all that and really distorts it into something unrecognizable to what God had planned.
How does it particularly affect young men? I'm thinking about young men who are not married yet, but we hear more and more about how young men are essentially unmarriageable because pornography has taken the place of real relationships.
Yeah, there's a lot of research that pornography does impact people's ability to form healthy bonds of attachment. So what people need to understand, especially if they haven't, you know, if they're not tempted, you know, among your audience, or they haven't seen pornography and since maybe they were much younger, is this is a normative experience for young boys and girls alike. Boys and girls, the average age, and this was years ago, I haven't seen an updated stat, so we can acknowledge this isn't maybe accurate today, but the average age of first exposure was in the 14 age, and many believe that's dropped several years since that stat came out, maybe 15 years ago. So this is a normative experience for boys and girls alike, and they're beginning because their filters and their mind isn't fully formed when they're exposed to this. This becomes the sexual template that they're working with as they mature and come into adulthood and then begin to try to engage in relationships. And we've got plenty of evidence and anecdotal stories of first sexual experiences being horrible because of the porn expectations that a young man in particular may have brought into that relationship. And so it's devastating all around, really.
What is private confession? Where does it enter the picture for those struggling?
Yeah, it's interesting. I gave a speech once. It was many years ago at Fort Wayne Theological Seminary, and there was an Image of God conference. And I remember talking about public confession. And a young pastor came up to me afterwards and said, hey, don't forget private confession. That's a really amazing tool for pastors to use to help men and women come out of the shadows. And so it's not a common practice in most churches, but pastors are aware of the rite of private or personal confession. It's in the Lutheran service book. And it's a very simple kind of confessional setting where a person can confess specific sins and hear the amazing good news of God's forgiveness and grace. And I've done this before with my pastor, and he offered me communion afterwards, and it was such a powerful reminder that God's love is there, even for those that struggle with any kind of sin, but especially sexual sin, because that feels to people like it's almost unforgivable sometimes.
Daniel Weiss is our guest, president of Sexual Integrity Leaders. We're talking about A Christ-Centered Road to Pornography Recovery. He discussed before sharing the struggle with others. We'll come back to that subject next. What does it mean to inwardly digest God's Word? Find out in Pastor Will Wheaton's column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. John Warwick Montgomery tells his story of finding confessional Lutheranism to be the most scripturally faithful theology. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move on into Galatians with Introduction to Galatians, No Other Gospel, Paul's Call, Paul's first visit to Jerusalem, and Paul's second visit to Jerusalem. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi, this is Pastor Eric Lang of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, Oregon. One thing I've asked of the Lord, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Mount Hood, Multnomah Falls, the Oregon coast. Oregon is beautiful, but nothing compares to the beauty of the Lord's house. If you are vacationing in the Portland area, please come join us at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Gresham, where the liturgy lives and God's people worship as one. For more information, go to wherethelogylives.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Wednesday, March the 20th. We're talking about Christ-centered road to pornography recovery with Daniel Weiss. Daniel, you mentioned earlier in our conversation about it's often helpful to share this struggle with others. Let's talk a little bit more about that.
Well, again, sin thrives in secrecy, and we know from the Bible that Satan tries to get people isolated and alone. That's where his deceptions, his lies, can really take root in a person's life when they don't have someone speaking God's truth directly into those broken, wounded situations. And so bringing in a community of support, and maybe not more than just one person, but maybe several, or joining a group, a recovery group, or a men's group, or a woman's group that can talk honestly and openly about this, it's so helpful for the person struggling to realize they're not the only one struggling with this. And I think that's a huge opportunity for churches to proclaim God's grace and love, to say, hey, listen, we know in this culture, you can't avoid distorted sexuality, and that's going to impact many of us, and some more than others. So if you're struggling, come in. Let us be a support. Let the church surround you and offer you support and resources to help you to move out of that place.
You mentioned that this isn't simply a spiritual issue. It also, in some ways, is a physiological issue. How does viewing pornography change the brain, and what obstacles do those changes present?
Yeah, there's a lot of research, and we're really starting to understand the brain better than we have in the past. But what we know is pornography acts as, some researchers have called it a supernormal stimulus. So it's taking a normal aspect of life, our sexuality, and it's hijacking it. And so pornography doesn't just produce pleasurable neurochemicals. It does that, as does sexual interaction with your spouse, but it turns up the heat, or turns up the intensity, I should say, to be something far more than we would ever experience in real life. And so the brain becomes quickly adjusted to, and then possibly addicted to if it goes on long enough. And it's very hard to undo that. However, the brain is, they call it neuroplasticity. So if we can still learn something in our middle age, we can learn to undo things as well. And that same neuroplasticity that changes when we view pornography can be undone as well by redirecting our thoughts. There's multiple things we can do to help that, but we're really retraining the mind, kind of renewing the mind in Christ comes to mind. That's what a person would be doing to undo those damages that are happening in the brain.
So how does the church communicate her willingness to help in this struggle? Obviously a taboo subject. How does it communicate that willingness to help against the temptation of pornography?
Yeah, I would say for pastors and other church leaders to think along the lines of subtlety and consistency. So you don't have to make a big announcement. In fact, it would probably be unhelpful to do so. Hey, if you're struggling with pornography, come meet with me in the back where everyone can see you. No, we don't want to call anyone out. But what we want to do, and what pastors can do, especially pastors, but other leaders as well, is put little hints in their sermons. There are plenty of passages in the weekly reading that deal with sexuality, and pastors may not always want to focus on that aspect of the passage, but they can also say, look, this is something that people struggle with in Jesus' day. It's something people struggle with back in the time of Adam and Eve, and it's something we struggle with now, and the church has always had answers. Christ has always been there to support people. And that's a 20, 30-second line in a sermon. But you're telling people it's okay, it's safe, and people will not come out of the shadows if they don't feel the church is a safe place to share those concerns. So pastors can make it a normal part of that Christian life in that congregation, saying, hey, we know people struggle. It's okay. Let's do this life together. And it's a bit of a mindset shift, but I think it can be done with just excellent opportunities for people to come out and confess and find some support and healing with what they're struggling with silently.
Daniel Weiss is president of Sexual Integrity Leaders, co-author of Treading Boldly Through a Pornographic World, the Field Guide for Parents, and author of a column for the April issue of the Lutheran Witness magazine titled Out of the Shadows. The Lutheran Witness interprets the world from a Lutheran perspective. An annual digital and print subscription is less than $25. Find out more at cph.org/witness or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, the Lutheran Witness magazine. Daniel, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd. God bless you and God bless Issues, Etc.
In hour two of Issues, Etc., we'll talk about creating a family-friendly culture with Tim Carney, author of the new book, Family Unfriendly, How Our Culture Made Raising Kids Much Harder Than It Needs to Be.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Lutheran Talk.
The cause of our salvation doesn't lie within us, but instead it lies outside of us, namely in the mercy of our God who sends His Son to live and die and rise again for us.
Lutheran Music. Listen anytime, anywhere with the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app. Download for iPhone, Android, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
The substitute organist service has been a great blessing for our worship life here at Christ the King Lutheran in Riverview, Florida.
Pastor Kevin Yoakum on the substitute organist service.
Now our organ plays rich liturgical music every single Sunday, and it's very affordable. You pick the hymns, you pick the liturgies. It's very simple. Just know when to push play.
You can find out more about the substitute organist service at churchmusicsolutions.com. churchmusicsolutions.com.